T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
The pitch. Sogard lines one. Right center field, base hit. Mareznick racing around second. He's heading to third. The throw comes in, and Mareznick will try to score. Here he comes. The throw to the plate. He is going to be out at the plate. Mareznick trying to score all the way from first, and the relay nails him at the plate for the second out in the inning.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have Olin Krutz sitting in this morning, and Olin already has talked a little bit about that play, and we've wondered about the aggressiveness of it, and we're delighted to welcome in our friend Russ Dorsey on the Home Run In Hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. It is obviously a great spot and great ideas. And Russ, welcome to the program. Great to catch up with you.
Mully, Olin, what is going on, guys? How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, we have a very special gift for our listeners. We have a 4-pack of tickets to see the Cubs host the Marlins Friday at Wrigley Field. First pitch, 7:05. Tickets on sale now at cubs.com/tickets for all remaining regular season home games. Be sure to listen to Pat and Ron right here on The Score, radio home of the Cubs. Did Willie Harris get carried away, Russ? Was that, did it go through your head that, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a no man's land when there's one out? If there are no outs, you definitely hold them. If there's two outs, maybe you send them, but one out, yeah.
I think I had a better vantage point than most. So as that play is developing, I'm watching in the press box, and as Kevin Pillar gets that ball, Jake Mareznick isn't even at third base yet. Wow. And so it's definitely an aggressive send by third base coach Willie Harris. And it's one of those where he's been aggressive since he's been the Cubs' third base coach. And this was really the first time since the Cubs hired him that he made one of those sends where you're like, I don't know if I would have sent the guy there. And, you know, Pillar makes a good relay throw to get it to Luis Guillorme, who makes a really good play, catching the ball, spinning and firing all basically in one motion and firing the James McCann at the plate to get what is the Cubs' fastest base runner in Jake Mareznick. And so it was the first question I asked Rossi last night, if he was okay with Willie sending Mareznick on that play. And he was. He was just saying, look, they're always going to err on the side of aggressiveness. And he was good in that situation with forcing the Mets to try to make two perfect throws to get their best base runner at the plate. So it's one of those where you're just like, was Willie a little aggressive with that sin there? Yes. I think another thing you can think about where Jason Hayward is right now offensively, the Cubs got to get aggressive in that situation, even with a situation where you probably have second and third with one out and a major league hitter at the plate. I think where that just says a little bit more about where they think Jason is offensively, where you're trying to push that run before he even comes to the plate in that situation.
Yeah, obviously, Willie Harris sends him, Russ, because it's Mariznick, right? And he is their fastest base runner, and there's a reason he's out there. My question is, do third base coaches, do they prep also? Do they know? They must know who the relay guy is, who's getting the ball home. Could a third base coach become a problem for a team if there's too many mistakes there?
I mean, yeah, and so Willie Harris is the outfield coach too, so he's going to have the scouting report on every outfielder that the Cubs play. So he's going to know who's the best arm out there, and then you got to know on that second layer who the relay man is, right? So there's a lot of second basemen that you're going to run on, right? There's a lot of shortstops around the game that you're going to run on. So the old adage goes, you don't run on the outfielder, you run on the relay man. And so in that situation, I think it's one of those you say, all right, they have to make two perfect throws to get our best at the plate. And if they do, you say, God bless, you tip your cap, and then you try to win. You try to win a game the next day. And credit to the Mets, they did that. They made two really good plays to nail the Cubs' best base runner. Do I think that's going to be a problem? No. I think if you look at the body of work from Willie so far since the Cubs hired him, he's been aggressive, and the Cubs have scored a lot of runs because of that. And I think he's really helped them in that area because, look, before they hired David Ross and put this staff together, you know, the Cubs were, that last year with Joe Maddon, were one of the worst base-running teams in the big leagues. They ran into a lot of outs, and so I think they've cleaned a lot of that up since they've added Willie into the fold and since Rossi became the manager. So, no, I wouldn't say that it's an issue. But, yeah, I do agree that, you know, maybe third base coaches around the game can get a little too aggressive at times. But I don't think this is one of those situations.
So, Russ, we know Javi Baez is back because we saw him hit a two-run homer, and that's pretty good. But Chris Bryant, you know, that was really – I know they called it a contusion, but when you get hit on the hand, you just worry. I know the x-rays were negative, but, God, there's so many bones and tendons and so many things on a hand. And, you know, Chris – I know we're trying to come up with a description of him. Like, he's like the first kind of all-star utility man, you know, super utility. It's not enough to say utility because he can play everywhere on the field. That is probably the guy you can least afford to lose.
Yeah, I think I wrote in the Sun-Times today, multi-positional superstar is the
nice.
Way I phrased it. And I think that might be the easiest way to put it. Yeah, look, that's your MVP, right? That's a guy, if the season ends today, is a top five MVP candidate. So, no, you don't want to lose Chris Bryant. Anytime you get a fastball off the hand, wrist, thumb area, you're going to be nervous. I think the main concern was that, all right, did he break anything? Is there a fracture? Is there anything like that? The answer to that was no. Is he going to be in the lineup today? I'd say probably not, as they try to, like, make sure that, you know, hey, I know you got hit with 94 on the hand, so go face Jacob DeGrom now. Good luck, buddy. I don't know if they're necessarily going to do that. But like David Ross said last night, that's a guy that wants to be in the lineup every day. So I think he'll come in and they'll see how the swelling is. If there's no swelling, he'll probably be in there. If there is some swelling and some soreness, they'll probably err on the side of caution and keep him out of the lineup at least for a day and maybe even have him available to pinch hit. So, no, you can't lose Chris Bryant. The Cubs have been through this stretch where they've lost a lot of guys over the last month and been able to tread water and are still tied for first place in the National League Central. So you got to be able to keep some guys healthy. And I think when we look up at what team is in first place at the end of the year, it's going to be the team that was able to tread water enough and be healthy enough to finish the season.
No, Russ, with the Cubs obviously looking for depth in their starting rotation, what did you think about what you got out of Alec Mills last night? Do you think that's enough?
Well, you're gonna need guys like Alec Mills to make these spot starts. When you look around the game, Olin, at, you know, how guys are getting hurt. It's pretty alarming. You know, every day there's a team has a guy go out, whether it's a hamstring, whether it's a back. And so going from 60 games last season to 162 games this season has really taken a toll on players around the league. And we're not even at July 1st yet. So you're going to need a lot of these guys like Alec Mills to pitch competent innings for you. And it's something that he's been able to do for the Cubs before. Besides Alec, you're going to need the rest of your starting rotation to take a step up here. I think if there's an area where you're looking ahead to the trade deadline, you're like, all right, where do the Cubs improve? Where can the Cubs add some strength? It would definitely be in the starting rotation because their bullpen is one of the best in the big leagues. I'd say top three minimum. And if you add a competent starting pitcher to that, you know, you could go, all right, if we get five innings, we can go sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth with our bullpen and we're going to be good. And you look around the game, that's how a lot of teams have success in the postseason. I think the situation that the Cubs are going to find themselves in is there's a lot of teams around the big leagues looking for starting pitching right now because of the reason we talked about with guys being hurt and guys' bodies taking the toll. So it's not going to be easy, and they're going to have to maybe be in a bidding war with a lot of the teams, maybe some in the same division, that are going to be looking for some of that starting pitching.
I had to look up Robert Stock. He will pitch tonight. 31-year-old with 52 games experience with the Padres and the Red Sox. This is his debut with the Cubs. And, oh, by the way, it's a pitcher's duel against Jacob DeGrom. So it's a tough spot for a veteran pitcher to walk into.
Yeah, I think, hey, Robert Stock, you're going to pitch against Jacob DeGrom your first game with the Cubs. Good luck. It's not the easiest for any pitcher, let alone a guy making his debut for his new club. All reports from Iowa and down in AAA were that Robert Stock had just started making starts, I think, in preparation for a situation like this where the Cubs needed a spot start. And from the reports, in his, I think, four or five inning bursts, he's been hitting 101 miles an hour and holding it there for four innings. So it's like, all right, if a guy's going to do that, you'll give him a shot in the big league and give him a shot to pitch against major league hitters and see if that plays. So I think if that velocity holds today, he at least has an opportunity for the guy throwing 100 miles an hour over nine innings in Jacob DeGrom.
Any of those Stock pitches actually on target? Or is he just throwing 100 miles an hour all over the ball yard?
That's a good question. And in this age of velocity and spin, you're seeing a lot of that. I think from the reports, he has been, you know, throwing that in the strike zone, getting guys out. Nice. So if you can do that and get guys out, I think getting four innings from Robert Stock is a win for the Cubs today.
Yeah, they certainly have they have their work cut out for them with DeGrom. Although maybe the sticky stuff is all that Jacob DeGrom was using, and he'll go away like the rest of these guys that have gotten the Gerrit Coles and the Bowers of the world. What was your take on MLB finally coming up with finally announcing some of their sticky stuff plan and their spider tactics, if you will? Thank you very much.
That's some of your best work, Mully. I'll tell you that. Right. I think talking to people yesterday and even before I got to the ballpark, there was a lot of frustration around the game. I think there's always been this. It was the sticky substances, foreign substances, has always been the biggest non-secret in baseball. It was kind of one of those, you know, we're not gonna say anything. We know what's going on. And as long as it doesn't get too out of hand, nobody's really going to do anything about it. But when the league started having umpires enforce this in game about a month ago, I think it kind of sent the baseball world into a frenzy, like, what's going on? This hasn't been a thing before. And was it starting to get out of hand? I don't think there's anybody that would tell you no. I think you talk to pitching coaches, you talk to pitchers. They know that this spider tack stuff, this super adhesive, this Pelican grip that was adding an extra 400, 500, 600 RPM rotations per minute to these breaking balls and fastballs was getting out of control. And for people out there that are not really aware of RPMs and rotation, so basically you hear about spin rate all the time. Right. And so the average spin rate for a major league pitcher is about 2,500 RPM rotations per minute. By adding this adhesive, this spider tack to, you know, a slider or a fastball, you can jump that from about 2,500 RPM to about 29 or 3,000 RPM, which is considered elite. And so when you put that in a baseball perspective, when you're getting these sliders that are exploding off the plate, missing bats, you get this crazy spin, this crazy movement on some of these 98, 99 mile an hour fastballs that move in ways they are not supposed to move. You know, that's the competitive advantage that this stuff gives you. I think when it comes to a thing like sunscreen and rosin, those things don't add RPMs to a pitch. That just helps with grip. And I think if you talk to pitchers around the game with baseballs and how baseballs have changed, I think going back from the home run rise a couple years ago and how the baseball changed to now the league changing the baseball back to something different to control the home run rate, I think if you ask a pitcher how baseballs feel, they'll say not only is it different from place to place, they're different within a start. And some would describe it as chalky or describe it as a cue ball. So having that rosin mixed with sunscreen to just help you grip a baseball is pretty important. And I think the fact that, you know, guys aren't going to have that, we've already seen hit by pitch per game at an alarming rate around the game. So guys not having grip on a baseball right now, I think the next 2 weeks to a month is going to send that trend in the wrong direction. So do I think this was a good idea by Major League Baseball? I don't know if during the middle of a season it was. I actually think that's a pretty poor decision. If there's something that you could have talked about during the winter or during spring training. But doing it in the middle of a season, I think we're going to be in the wild, wild west here in the next couple of weeks as guys who have gotten used to having this extra grip, this additional substance, whether it's not – I wouldn't put a lot of guys in the category of the what you would consider cheating substances. I think I just guys having a little extra grip. You talk to hitters, they want guys to be able to throw 99 and be able to command it in the zone. So is it a bad idea? I think yes right now, but I do think you needed to have a clean slate and a reset so that you could start these things. And then maybe later in the offseason, you could talk about how you're going to really, you know, go at this.
Russ, great stuff. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Molly. Thanks, all. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Russ.
That is Russell Dorsey of the Chicago Sun-Times. Does a great job. We got some awful news here. I'm so bummed hearing this. Chris Paul, who, by the way, is like the first 35-year-old who is 6 feet and under to actually make, I think, the fifth ever to make the playoffs, he's now out. The Phoenix Suns, as they're sitting there waiting to play whomever in the championship series, all NBA guard Chris Paul has entered COVID-19 health and safety protocols, is sidelined for an indefinite period. We should tell you the breaking news on the score is powered by Radio.com Sports and presented by BetQL. Become a better, bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And that is a tweet from our guy Sham Sharania. That is heartbreaking. I mean, I love Chris Paul. That is a absolute wreck. We'll get into it. We've got a lot left in the program. Dave Will's going to join us. Dave, of course, knows a little something about the Southsiders and about the Devil Rays, and we'll run the big news by him of a massive injury for the bad guys, frankly, because they're not the Sox. Mully and Haw, he's Olin Krug, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand.
Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The pitch on its way. Here's a swing and a ground ball left side, through for a base hit. Late jump by Vaughn. He's the third. He's going to be waved home. A Rosarena's throw to the plate. Got through Mejia and goes to the backstop. Here comes the base runner, Garcia. He's around third. He will score as well. The White Sox score two on a base hit by Danny Mendick, and it's 2-0 Chicago. The throw looked like it was there, and we're not sure if it kind of hit a lip and skipped on by Mejia or what, but Randy Arozarena got rid of the throw, and it looked like it was going to be online, and Arozarena was up with it, and really it was going to be a costly send, and it did. It skipped right at the edge of the grass and the dirt and got through Mejia.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to the fine folks at WAE and the Tampa Bay Rays Radio Network. And we are delighted to have Olin Krutz with us this morning. And Olin, we welcome in a Chicago guy made good. Dave Wills, a native of Oak Lawn. As a Tommy Moore boy, we dreamed of someday living in Oak Lawn. And Dave is living his dream. And he joins us now on the Home Run In Hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. And Dave, I'm sure you've been to the Home Run In, and what a joy to welcome you to the program. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. And yes, I've been to the Home Run In a few times, and missed places like that, obviously. And it's great to be back on the air in Chicago. And wish I was in Chicago right now, but. Right now, I'm working up a lather after walking my dog in 85-degree weather and 1,000% humidity. So, we're doing the best we can.
Hey, yeah. Dave, don't worry. Mully has worked his way to an Oak Lawn, so he's just fine. He's doing good.
Good. The boys on 95th Street need some help there. You know, stop by Billy Boys and tell them I sent you.
You got it. All right. So help us out, Dave. How in the name of God? First of all, how do the Rays do it? I can't figure out how they pull this off every year. They just seem to have – and they're still loaded. The minor league system is loaded. But now Tyler Glasnow. Now you lose, your ace and the righty in the staff. You got a lot of left-handers. This is – it just seems like it's one thing after the other that doesn't matter to the Rays. This might be a tipping point, though.
This was a bit of a gut punch. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you can't sit there and say that you're a better team the day after you lose Tyler Glasnow for an extended period of time. And as my broadcast partner Andy Fried mentioned yesterday, too, now you think about it, our top three starters from a year ago, a team that went to the World Series, Blake yep. Snell, Charlie Morton, and Tyler Glasnow are all gone. So, we've got some things to take care of. And, it's about depth. This organization has some incredible depth. There's no doubt about that. And people always ask us, how do we do it? Well, with the Rays, it starts with run prevention. And does run prevention start with the pitching, or does it start with an elite defense on both the infield and the outfield that helps the pitching? Or does the pitching help the defense because they're so good and they strike out so many guys? So it could be kind of a chicken and the egg kind of theory right there, but it does start with run prevention. That's why we are so good. We don't have to worry about having to go and score 4, 5, 6 runs a night in order to win a lot of baseball games. We can do it with, 3 or 4 at the most sometimes. So that run prevention is going to get tested now that Tyler's not pitching every fifth day. But we hope that Michael Wacha, who's had some success in the past, can maybe find some of that again. We've got Chris Archer trying to make his way back from injury. And then at the minor league level, we have Luis Patino, who we picked up in the Blake Snell trade, that can bring it 97, 98 miles an hour with a nasty slider that he's been working to improve upon. We've got Brent Honeywell Jr., who's been a top pitching prospect in all of baseball for the last few years, but unfortunately has not been able to stay healthy, but he's making strides at staying healthy. And then we got a couple other kids that we've been developing here over the last couple of years. And then there's a kid, Shane Boz. If you can't believe that, in addition to Austin Meadows and also Tyler Glasnow in that trade for Chris Archer, we picked up a kid, Shane Boz, who just got promoted from Double-A to Triple-A, where he pitched about 40-some innings and struck out 50 and walked only two. So we've got a lot of depth, and we've got some arms coming back on the bullpen side too. So we're gonna be tested. There's no doubt about it. But this team has shown a lot of resiliency over the last few years. In 19, we lost Glasnow and Snell for a considerable amount of time, and still made the postseason. And last year we had to deal with some injuries too, and still made it to the World Series.
You know, Dave, with everybody talking, obviously, about Major League Baseball cracking down on pitchers using different substances, mainly the grip stuff, and Tyler Glasnow saying now that he thought his injury was directly related to the fact that he could not use the substance on the mound. What are you hearing around the Rays about how this will affect their pitching staff that you just talked about is so important to them?
Well, I mean, again, with Tyler, it is unfortunate, and I'm sure it had something to do with it because, if anybody wants to, put their fingers around their forearm and their elbow and you feel what happens when you make a fist or you're, like, squeezing a baseball, you can feel some of the things that are happening in your elbow right there. And Tyler said that after he went cold turkey in a game a couple of starts ago, he said he woke up with soreness in places that he never had soreness before. So, it's unfortunate. I also don't think, though, that throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs and elite sliders and pretty darn good curveballs, also had something to do with the fact that he's got a partially torn UCL. Most pitchers are dealing with that at some time or another during their career. I would imagine most pitchers who have been throwing for more than 10 years probably have a partially torn UCL. But for a lot of the other guys, some of the guys that I've asked some of our baseball operations people about it, and I think we have the benefit of youth. And part of that, Olin, as you know, Mully, is that sometimes they're just too young to know any better, and they never really have been able to figure out probably how to use it properly anyway. So I don't think it's going to be a problem for most of our guys, if not all our guys, and it's just something we have to move past, and hopefully the sooner we do it, the better off we're going to be.
He's Dave Wills, voice of the Rays, back on the 670 Signal. Wasn't that the old WMAQ? That you used to work at years ago.
Jeff Joniak and I used to do sports on 15 and 45, and then I think I did a couple of sports huddle shows with a few of the guys as well way back in the day.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. But I still remember it well, Dave. I'm just a young guy starting out, and I grew up at the feet of the master.
It's like, you were Tommy Moore, you wanted to come to Oak Lawn, and you were like, I got it.
So, and I also want to be in the Irish American Baseball Hall of Fame. What an accomplishment that is. My God.
I'll work on that for you, too. I know a guy or two.
So, listen, Dave, we're obviously following the Sox, and they're having, this bizarre year where you lose Aloy and you lose Louis Robert, and now Madrigal is out for the season. And, there's good news that Aloy could be coming back. But you look at this team, and they have been kind of through a lot. Tony La Russa getting hired. You've been around this team a long time. What went through your head when you saw Tony get hired, when you saw what they were going to be doing with the organization as they were approaching what they believe to be the opening of a window of championship possibility?
Yeah, I can't say that I necessarily saw that coming. I don't know Rick Renteria all that well. He was at the Kane County Cougars after I'd already left and heard nothing but great things about the guy. But, who knows? Having not been there, watching from afar, I thought he did a great job of bringing the White Sox from point A to point B. But, maybe they needed another guy just like the Cubs and Joe Maddon to get him to where they wanted to go. So I can understand Jerry Reinsdorf's thought process. He probably looked at a couple of other guys who have championship pedigree and thought, all right, well, do I want to go with the baggage of this guy who has something going on right now? I mean, the two guys that were available, Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch, both had that cheating scandal kind of hanging over their heads. So I'm not sure that's the direction I would have wanted to go either. And it was a little surprising to think that it was Tony. But, you're talking about the ultimate championship pedigree, one of the winningest managers in all of baseball. He's got a great relationship with the owner, and maybe they wanted to go from the zig of Rick Renteria to the zag of Tony La Russa. And obviously it's a different vibe in the manager's office than what it's been for the last few years between not only Rick Renteria, but even going back to Robin Ventura. So, they're getting it done somewhat of the old-fashioned way with pitching. Their defense seems to be improved. I still don't think it's, at Rays level defense, but you know, that shows up every single day. Now, the question is going to be, can that pitching hold up, which has really been remarkable in doing so here in April, May, and now into June, where their starting rotation, despite all the injuries, their rotation has been solid and staying together and has been really, really good. And I like the back end of their bullpen. I like the arms that come out, and then Liam Hendricks finishing off games like he did yesterday. So, you know, pitching and defense, that's what it's about, guys. You know, that's how the Rays have always stayed good. You know, you can say what you want, but, you know, the slugging goes away for a while. And I think the White Sox have, you know, it's also kind of interesting to watch, being us more of an analytical team and seeing an old school baseball team play. You know, we were talking about it a little bit yesterday during our broadcast. But Dallas Keuchel on our team probably would have been out after six innings. If he approached the third time through the lineup in a close game like that, we probably would have put the ball in the hands of our bullpen. It's kind of interesting to see how Tony probably said, Dallas, how you feeling? I'm feeling good. All right, you go back out there. And why wouldn't he? We weren't coming close to really squaring him up. So it's going to be kind of interesting and a lot of fun for the White Sox fans on the South Side here this summer to see how this all evolves. And if their pitching stays healthy, I'm not impressed with the American League Central, and I'm not impressed with the National League Central. The White Sox should have no problem winning that division.
Dave, great stuff. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Great talking with you. And hopefully we'll talk again later in the year, maybe into October as well.
That would be wonderful. All right, that is Dave Wills. Always fun to talk to Dave. Love those Chicago guys made good. And we've got to let you know that there's a great giveaway. We're giving away four tickets to Friday's Cub game, and you want to stay tuned for that. We also have more bad news in the NBA. I got to tell you, Olin, I don't know if you're a big NBA fan. Mm-hmm. I've always followed the NBA, and I was really into the Chris Paul story. How about this one? Kawhi Leonard now is expected to miss the rest of the series with Utah. The Clipper star has got he tweaked his knee on a drive late in game four, and it looks like he's not going to be able to play tonight, and we don't know when Kawhi will be back. So bad news for the super teams all the way around. You know, Kyrie Irving's got the ankle. I know James Harden came back for that game, but that game was all about Kevin Durant, 49 points for him, a triple-double, and I believe Harden was 1 for 10 or something. He just did not have it yet. So the NBA, they're limping to the finish. It's really, really disappointing to see so many NBA stars go down. All right, we'll be back. We want to touch back on some football stuff. Going to ask Olin about the quarterbacks and about when you know. And he said it earlier, 18 different quarterbacks that he snapped to with the Bears, 18 different starters. That is pretty extraordinary. And, you know, we're talking about the mechanics of the game a little bit. And does Justin Fields, will that be a simple kind of thing for him to understand and work with after his time at Ohio State, where they obviously operated differently, looking over to the sidelines to get the play? It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
And as we all know, promises can get pretty crazy. But what we told Andy is that he's our starter, and he knows that. And that's what Justin knows, that's what Nick knows, you know, the rest of our coaches. And we tell these guys, knowing that, there's got to be a start, right? So that's where we're at. And now they go ahead, and all three of them are going to be the best quarterback they can be. And then that gets into that plan, this plan that we keep talking about. And it takes a little bit of time. But to answer your first question, there was no promises. But we told him, and I specifically told him, you're our starter.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're blessed to have Olin Kreutz with us today, and that is the voice of Matt Nagy talking yesterday about the quarterback situation. And they promised Andy Dalton that he'd be the starter, the Red Rifle QB1. And Justin Fields, obviously the first-round draft pick, a guy they traded up for, a guy that probably was underdrafted, Olin. I mean, you know, here's a kid that a lot of people thought was the second-best quarterback in college football, and he winds up being the fourth guy taken, and the Bears trade up to get him in the draft outside the top 10. When you think about the amount of scrutiny that he's been under, and it's been absolutely unbelievable. He out of all the players in the draft this year, he seemed to be the guy that was somehow scrutinized the most. There was talk of a hitch in his giddy up because of the way that he kind of moved his arm, and then you had people breaking down, you know, how good is his work ethic. The guy like aced the Wunderlich, but people are wondering if he's going through his reads progression in the quick enough fashion. I think Ryan Day assuaged a lot of those concerns, but I also think that as you look at Justin Fields, you know, the guy shows up at a Cubs game and gets a standing ovation. The expectations for him couldn't possibly be any higher.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder what my Wunderlich score was. I'm sure I aced that too, but we'll go back and find that out eventually. But yeah, the expectations are high. I just think the hope is really high because of, we talked about earlier about how the Chicago Bears have never come across a franchise quarterback, says Sid Luckman, back in the day, and that was a long time ago. So, you know, the kid starts to fall in the draft. Trey Lance goes, like you talked about. Zach Wilson goes, obviously, before him. Kind of shocking for me, but sometimes, like you know, these teams can outthink themselves. And the guy right in front of them, the guy who's been doing it for years, been doing it since high school, you know, him and Trevor Lawrence, I think, went to school right near each other. He's been a star athlete. I heard about Justin Fields that he was also could have been a pro baseball player. So that's the kind of athlete you're dealing with here in Justin Fields. And obviously people were a little worried about what you're talking about. Sometimes he looked like in the pocket, he wouldn't get rid of the ball quickly. He wouldn't get it out. And we all know in the NFL that equals a really big problems. If you don't get the ball out and get into your playmaker's hands quickly, you take too many hits. But guys have shown now that this league has changed a little bit. Lamar Jackson, we talked about Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills. Running quarterbacks, big quarterbacks, guys who can make play with their feet have seen a lot of success. You know, we keep bringing his name up, and we probably should stop because the guy's going to end up being in the Hall of Fame. Patrick Mahomes obviously was also the fourth quarterback taken in his draft, unless I'm mistaken. So big things. We're hoping for big things from Justin Fields. Very interesting, this quarterback situation the Bears have. The more we talk about it, I start to think to myself, you know, can Andy Dalton, will Nick Foles with an offseason, will he end up looking really good in camp? We've all seen Nick Foles get hot. This quarterback situation that the Bears have can get really interesting really fast. And if Justin Fields shows himself to be who he is, no matter how many times the Bears have told Andy Dalton he is the starter, if he doesn't show that he is who they want him to be, he could be third in that room. So to me, that whole quarterback room is a toss-up, and it's just who is playing better football. Because, look, the Bears have a bad offense. We all know that. We've been watching them now for, you know, since week 14 of 2018, since they went up against the Rams, and they got shut down there. They have not scored a lot of points. Mitch Trubisky took a lot of the blame. He is gone now. Now Coach Nagy got his pick at quarterback, and they got to develop this kid. And we all are waiting to see what actually happens there in that quarterback room.
When we talk about just the mechanics of the game, a guy that isn't, you know, he's got to take the ball from center. He's got to be under center. Operates out of the shotgun. Mm-hmm. How much time does that take if it's not a natural thing for the guy? I mean, how? And I'm not saying that he won't adjust to it, but they did have a mini camp practice, and he did fumble a couple times. Also threw, like, a beautiful ball down the field that wowed anybody that was within a 50-mile radius. But there are other issues that go into play. You cannot turn the ball over in the NFL.
No, and this guy obviously is going to look amazing in these shorts and T-shirt practices. That's just the kind of athlete he is, right? And he's been that for years. You don't end up at Ohio State. I think he went to Georgia first. He was a highly recruited quarterback. As far as him fumbling snaps in his first practice under center with a defense actually opposite of them, him being a former baseball player and the athlete that he is, I wouldn't worry too much about that as being his problem once he gets into it. In my experience, it's the guys who are a little less athletic, who are trying to get out of there early. You know, guys that baseball players know how to field ball well. Obviously, he has good hands. He'll learn how to take that snap. in my opinion, I think he'll learn pretty quickly, and that won't be a problem for him with as tall as he is, with long arms, big, strong athlete. I don't think taking snaps is going to be a problem for Justin Fields. So, honestly, that's kind of the last thing I worry about. I'm interested to see him. We talk about process information in the NFL. It doesn't mean a guy is either smart or not. It usually means how quickly can you do it. A lot of guys can do it on the board, Molly. A lot of guys can go on a grease board and tell you the game of football down to a T. X's and O's, they know everything. But in the window of time, can you see what the defense is doing within a 10-second window? That's what Tom Brady does. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, the defense is moving. They have a knack for a feel. They almost feel what the defense is doing to them. It's not a fact of knowing it. It's a fact of can you feel it, process it quickly, and get it to the guy who the defense leaves open.
And I hate to bring up Mitchell Trubisky, but I heard Ryan Pace talk about his accuracy, but he wasn't really accurate on the deep ball. When you think about a guy like Fields, I guess Pro Football Focus did some kind of breakdown where they look at the accuracy of quarterbacks, and they claim that he was the most accurate quarterback that they've seen since they started doing it, whatever, 7-8 years ago. And I don't know how that determination was made, but that is without question one of the most important things involved in trying to play the position is accuracy, is the ability to get the ball out, obviously on time and in time, but to throw it where a guy can get yards after the game. We've seen so many players have to come back for the ball or have to, you know, again, I think we talk about Allen Robinson. He's got this catch radius where the ball doesn't have to be put in the right spot, but you wonder what happens if it is.
Yeah, you know, Tariq Cohen, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, you want to get these guys the ball in their hands where they can actually make a move on a defender and go after yards after the catch, which I don't know the Bears' stats last year, but it didn't seem like they were very good at that. And some of that has to do, like you're talking about, with the quarterback accuracy.
All right, right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670. That's the contest line. Don't call the regular phone. Call the contest line, 312-540-0670. You will win a four-pack of tickets to see the Cubs host the Marlins Friday night at Wrigley Field. Tickets on sale now at Cubs.com/tickets for all remaining regular season home games. And be sure to listen to Pat and Ron right here on the Score, radio home of the Chicago Cubs. We're going to come back. We'll welcome in Dan and Layla. We'll do a little crosstalk, and we'll let Olin go on with his life. Mm-hmm. It's Mully and Haw. We have Olin Krutz on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.